Perhaps I should have introduced myself earlier, but I am Pastor Seth Nelson, of course. I'm sure that's pretty obvious from the bulletin. And many thanks to Grants and Connie and everybody and Tamara and Carl and everybody who worked to bring this service together. I really appreciate it. By the time I met him, Mark went by Mark. Found out last week that before he had people call him Mark, they called him Mart. And before that, when he was growing up here in this church, he was known by his given name, Martillus. Some folks, whether it be in name or other aspects of life, are just a little hard to pin down and figure out. I would say that was true of Mark, or Mart, or Martillus. And I say that because I think he would want me to. Even until the end, Mark had his own way of doing things, his own way of being, his own way of dwelling among us, and he cherished that independence. He loved to be his own man and do his own thing. Yet even though he was his own man who did his own thing, he was deeply embedded in this community. I looked up the records of this church to confirm that his parents were founding members of this congregation all the way back in 1938. 80 years ago, the Marsteds got together with several other families to bring the faith of our ancestors from their old homes in Europe to their new homes in America. And for days such as this, so that we can come together and remember those that we've lost. And into the midst of this community, Mark was born. His roots ran deep here. In our community, he was claimed as a baptized child of God and grew up to be confirmed in the faith. Thanks to Patty, she dug up his confirmation photos that are down in the library. I haven't actually seen it yet, so I need to go see that after. Though he lived elsewhere for a while as an adult, he eventually made his way back to this place, this home of his. I believe he returned because deep within Mark, this is a place where he always belonged. But while he forged a place of belonging here on earth, God was also preparing a home for him with our Heavenly Father. Jesus told us through the Gospel of John, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." The Father has prepared a heavenly home with many rooms, and Jesus, the Son, promises to take us there to make a home, an eternal home, an eternal place of belonging. Now, some people translate this passage as a house with many rooms, while others a house with many mansions. I think many people might be drawn to the second translation because, well, who doesn't want a mansion, right? But I think that this verse is better translated as many rooms or many dwelling places within one big house. Jesus' vision is one of a heavenly community that is never ending, in which all will be protected under one holy roof. And more importantly, nobody will ever be alone. The place where the Father dwells and where the Son has prepared a place for us is one where nobody will ever be lonely again, because everyone will be at home together. I'll be honest. I always felt like Mark's home could use a little work. I walk and drive by it all the time on my way around town and often thought, you know, I bet we could get a crew from church to help Mark fix his place up. I even asked him about it once. He still has a stack, at least last time I checked, has a stack of new shingles that never got to the roof on the side of his house. So one day, the shepherd's table meal that we have at the senior center, I sat with him and I asked, "Hey Mark, I saw you have a bunch of shingles stacked next to your house. Do you want some help re-roofing your place?" As typical independent fashion, he said, "No, no, thanks for the offer, but I will be fine." Again, being honest here, at the time I didn't really agree with him. We have a bunch of very willing and very capable volunteers with generous servant hearts in this community. And I thought that we should help him make his house just a little better. But I was wrong, and Mark was right. You know why? Because he was fine. He was fine. He did not need a mansion or a big shop out front like he had once planned, or any other frills that a lot of people greedily compete for in life. He was fine. He was fine because he was content with what he had. And that is a rare gift that few people find in this world. We don't have to worry about providing for Mark anymore, though, because he now has a room in the home that God has prepared for him. The promise of his salvation was sealed upon him when he was a child through the waters of baptism. And through the waters of God's mercy, he was sealed as a child of the Heavenly Father, all while growing to life among us. At the table here, Sunday after Sunday, he received the body and blood of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who forgives all our transgressions and makes us one with him through the bread and the wine. And beneath our roof, Mark was reassured by the promise of the gospel, the holy truth, that the Son of God was born among us to redeem all of creation, a promise that carries us from this life to the next, even beyond death itself. For that promise, we give thanks today, a promise that we trust was realized in the life, death, and redemption of our brother Mark, our brother Martillus. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.